This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
If you're looking for commitment, flexibility, competitive interest rates, and on-the-farm service, then try Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 95 years, generations of farmers have been turning to Farm Credit for all their farm financing and crop insurance needs. As a farmer-owned and directed cooperative, Farm Credit is there to meet the needs of today's farm families. Whether it's a farm real estate loan, operating line of credit, machinery refinance, or one of our many crop insurance options, Farm Credit has the products farmers want with the service you deserve. Products and services delivered by professionals who know agriculture. It's our only business. Farm Credit brings a higher level of experience and expertise to farm lending, providing better financial solutions for your farm business. Call Farm Credit Services of Illinois today at 800-444-FARM. Remember, 800-444-FARM. Whether in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the equipment to do the job right and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue in Litchfield.
First of all, in our farm news on this Monday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat trading at 851 and a quarter, down 5.5. March wheat trading at 863, down 6.25. December corn trading at 741 and a half, down 11 and a quarter. March corn trading at 741 and a half, down 11 and a quarter. November soybeans trading at 1496, down 26 and a half. January beans trading at 1495 and a half, down 26 and a half. The overnight crude oil market, 37 cents lower at 91.49. The Brent crude, 4 cents lower at 114.58. The December gold contract, $12.70 lower at $1,747. The U.S. dollar index, 0.039 higher at 79.706. On the Chicago Board of Trade on Friday, December wheat ended at 856 and three quarter, down 29 and a quarter. March wheat ended at 869 and a quarter, down 27 and three quarter. May wheat ended at 872 and three quarter, down 25. December corn on Friday, 752 and three quarter, down 20 and one half. March corn ended at 752 and three quarter, down 20 and one half. May corn ended at 747 and a quarter, down 20 and one half. November soybeans Friday ended at 1522 and a half, down 26. January beans ended at 1522, down 26 and a half. March beans ended at 1492, down 28 and three quarter. October soybean meal Friday ended at 474.30, down 84. December meal ended at 465.20, down 70. January meal ended at 459.50, down 83. October soybean oil on Friday ended at 49.89, down 99. December oil 50.67, down 66. January oil ended at 51.05, down 66. December oats on Friday ended at 392, up 3.5. March oats ended at 395, up 3.5. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash grain recap.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday's Grain Market News Report. And the Illinois country grain prices ended sharply lower on Friday afternoon. Poor export interest and profit-taking at the Board of Trade pushed corn futures lower on Friday. And in northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 20 to 22 cents lower at 728 to 743. Soybean bids were down 24 to 27 cents at 1491 to 1502. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 20 to 21 cents a weaker at 741 to 756, and soybeans dropped 26 cents at 1504 to 1514. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids dropped 20 to 21 cents at 7.48 to 7.65. Soybean bids down 23 to 26 cents at $15 to 15.23. And soft red winter wheat down 29 to 30 at 8.20 to 8.40. $8.20 to $8.37. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids down 26 cents on Friday at 15.32 to 15.37. Basis ended steady at 10 to 15 over November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis ended $4 to $7 per ton lower at $4.73.20 to $4.83.20. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 22 cents, range from 7.56 to 7.66, with basis ending steady at 5 to 15 over December. Dried distiller grains ended steady to $5 per ton higher at 265 to 295 per ton. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 17 to 20 cents lower at 743 to 745. Basis ended steady to 3 cents stronger at 10 to 8 under December. Soybean bids were down 26 to 28 cents at 15.19 to 15.22, with basis steady to 2 cents lower at 3 to option November. Wheat prices for June, July 13 delivery down 20 cents on Friday at 8.07 to 8.11, with the basis steady at 34 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 11 to 23 cents lower at 7.23 to 7.50. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 25 to 26 cents with quotations at 15.29 to 15.38. Soft red winter wheat down 29 cents at 8.36 to 8.37, and Milo dropped 21 cents at 7.22 to 7.23. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. January corn bids range from 735 to 750. January soybean bids at 1491 to 1510. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 747 to 763. January soybean bids at 1514 to 1529. And in the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 760 to 781. January soybean bids at 1507 to 1537. And wheat bids for July 13 delivery in southern Illinois, they range from 791 to 818. That is our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday, October hogs ended at 82.75, up 42. December hogs ended at 78.37, up 87. February hogs ended at 84.65, up 52. October cattle on Friday ended at 123.90, down 70. December cattle 125.50, down 42. February cattle ended at 129.35, down 35. October feeder cattle Friday 143.10, up 35. November feeders 144.20, up 42. January feeders 146.15, down 22. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Friday, starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs. Negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 7,030 head today. They're trading 33 cents lower from 70 to 87.5 with a weighted average of 80.66. And in Illinois today, there was 14,757 head of bears and gilts sold. The primal cutout value for a hog carcass was down 66 cents today at 87.03. The Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar Report. Sows traded steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 32 to 34, 4 to 5 weights from $33 to $36, and over 500 pounds from $35 to $40. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts were steady again today from $54 to $58. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Friday. Hogs are at 427,000 on the day. That's down 4,000 from last week, but up 6,000 from a year ago. Cattle are at 111,000 on the day. That's down 4,000 from last week and down 6,000 from the same time last year. The USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 121 fabricated loads and 29 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up 36 cents at $1.91.67, while selects were down 28 pennies at $1.77.04, leaving the choice select spread at $14.63. At the Walnut Livestock Auction on Thursday, they had 246 head on offer, Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold mostly $2 higher, while cows were $1 to $2 lower. Choice steers from $1.18.5 to $1.24.25, choice Holsteins from $1.09.5 to $1.14.50, and choice heifers from $1.17.5 to $1.22. In the slaughter cow division, you had bone and type cows from $75.25 to $79, and lean cows from $67.5 to $73. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for butter. The latest prices we have, $1.93 unchanged. For block cheese, $2.10 unchanged. For barrel cheese, $2.06 unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk, $21.12. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for October, $7.37. For November, $7.40. Corn delivered to Scottville for October, $7.37. And for November, $7.39. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for October, $15.18. For November, $15.29. Wheat delivered to Scottville for October, $8.05. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $7.37. Corn at Scottville, $7.37. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $15.18. Wheat at Scottville, $8.05. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area at this time. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Across mid-Illinois for today, sunny skies, high temperatures in the mid-60s with light northwest winds. Clear skies tonight, low temperatures in the mid-40s. And for tomorrow, Tuesday, sunny and warmer, high temperatures in the mid-70s. Your extended forecast for Wednesday through Friday, partly cloudy and cooler with a chance of a shower Wednesday. Lows in the mid-40s, highs in the mid-50s. Right now, light west winds. The barometric pressure is steady. Our temperature, 47 degrees. Over the weekend, WSMI weather watcher Robin Schroeder of Jerseyville, 9/10 of an inch of rain, 45/100 of an inch here at the Weather Center. And once again, 47 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Come out to the Knights of Columbus Hall in Raymond on Tuesday, October 16th from 5 to 7 p.m. for a fundraiser benefiting State Representative Wayne Rosenthal. NASCAR Nationwide Series race car driver Justin Allgaier and his Brandt-sponsored stock car will be there for visitors to see. Pork loin sandwiches will be available, courtesy of the pork producers. That's October 16th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Raymond.
Paid for by Friends of Wayne Rosenthal.
And in our farm news this morning, Farm Credit Services continues their program of feeding dinner to farmers in local elevators. Rita Frazier has more.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI. Last week, we were on the elevator harvest meal tour with Farm Credit Services of Illinois. They serve lots of lunches at Prairie Town Feed. We caught up there with Justin Goble. Justin is among the third generation in his family to be working at Prairie Town Feed. He tells us more about that family business.
Yes, my grandfather started it in 1956, originally just as a feed dealership, kind of just ran more of a milk route type style with a delivery truck, going door to door and collecting orders and then dropping off the feed after picking up at the plant. So built the store here in the existing store that we have in the 50s, and it's just kind of grown over the years, always kind of a small addition here and there throughout the years. My brother and I came back, third generation, in 2007, my brother Jared. And we've kind of just tried to keep it going and keep it growing. Our favorite part of everything is just that a lot of our customers, we've been dealing with them for multiple generations as well. So that's a lot of fun when you have that type of loyalty and type of long-term relationship.
Tell us about, you know, just how the business plan looks today.
I would say feed is still every bit as large a part of our business as anything else is. Fertilizer has grown a lot. In the last 5-6 years, we've made some equipment upgrades and some additions that way to make it a little bit easier. But feed is still a huge portion of our business, particularly horse feed. We service Fairmount Racetrack, thoroughbred racing down there. Fertilizer's grown. Seed has been something that's grown quite a bit lately. Carry three different brands of seed. Our main seed corn product that we carry is LG. On the bean side, we carry Stein beans. Those are our two main lines. But I would say probably still 40%, if not better, of our business is still feed-related. Then there's seed might be maybe 20% of it. Fertilizer, probably another 20%. And then still there's some grain merchandising and some trucking that we do. We run some semis and haul some grain and do some transfer work for some of the terminals at the river. So that'd probably make up the remainder of the business.
The horse feed industry and that part of your business is very fascinating because you really put a lot of time and energy into it. It's not just a straight ration. As you were telling me, there's a lot of components to making that high-quality horse feed.
Yeah, it's something that we've kind of, gotten used to or kind of got a program down over the years of doing it. When you're dealing with performance horses, you've got to have a particular type of oat. We usually get all of our oats in from Canada, the Dakotas, or someplace up north. You get a lot higher test weight oat, a lot better quality. And then, you know, we'll custom mix virtually just about anything. It'll have Prina supplement in it, and then some liquid molasses and what have you. But everybody kind of has their own little custom mix that they think works for them. And, you know, we just kind of make it to order.
Okay, so the horse feed is a big part of it. Are there other livestock customers that you guys service? Tell us a little bit about. I know you're a proud Purina dealer as well.
I would say, you know, we still do a lot of pet food for, you know, just out the door, walk-in type business. And then the show industry has kind of been something that's grown quite a bit over the last few years, particularly show cattle. We do a lot of show feeds. Usually, I mean, I'd say our service circle as far as where we're delivering feed and customers and such like that, we go south to the racetrack there in Fairmont, and we have a lot of show cattle business up in the Dawson, Illinois area up towards Springfield, some more horse business there at the state fairgrounds, so pretty much that's kind of our main feed business.
So you mentioned the future a little bit ago, but do you feel good about the future and where this business will go?
Oh, I think so. I think if we work hard and pay attention to what our customers are asking us to do and looking for, I think we'll be fine. You know, the yields this year in the fields were pretty poor, particularly on the corn side, but I think beans are a little better than guys maybe expected. So, you know, just kind of, you can't base everything on 1 year, just kind of prepare and stay optimistic and go towards next spring.
Justin Goble at Prairie Town Feed, Madison County, here on WSMI.
Last week, the United States Department of Agriculture released their October supply and demand report. We talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions, and he talked about the effects on the soybean and wheat markets.
Soybeans, we increased, USDA increased the yield back up toward where it's probably getting close to where we're probably ending up, close to that 38 bushel per acre level. And we anticipate that that's probably going to creep higher. It's at 37.8 bushels now. If you look back since 1995, the October yield has increased six times. Five of those six times, the final yield was a bit higher than that. But also USDA increasing demand to offset that. I think that's going to continue. When you look at global demand up until the South American harvest, it would suggest that any increased yield we get is simply going to be absorbed by demand and perhaps still do not have enough production to meet that demand.
Now, what about soft wheat?
Soft wheat, we did see a little bit of a drop in exports for soft red winter and hard red winter wheat. And so we saw overall exports drop. Other than that, the USDA went with its production estimates from the September 28th crop report. So no major adjustments there. The main thing, I think, was that USDA cut Australia's crop another 3 million metric tons. They'll probably take another 2 to 3 million metric tons off Australian future reports. They also cut Black Sea wheat. Again, that will probably result in additional exports for U.S. soft wheat in the weeks and months to come.
That Black Sea wheat you mentioned, is that soft wheat that they grow there?
They have all kinds of wheat there, but it most competes with U.S. soft red winter wheat. Some of it competes with U.S. hard wheat, but most of the competition is with U.S. soft wheat in a feed wheat, global feed wheat market.
That was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. The United States Department of Agriculture says corn prices have hit a new record after another drop in monthly yield and production estimates, while soybean numbers were the reverse. World Ag Outlook Board Chair Gerald Bange says USDA increased its harvested corn acreage forecast, but that was more than offset by a reduced yield estimate.
They reduced the bushels per acre by 0.8 of a bushel. So they're down to 122 bushels per acre. And if you take the area harvested being up and the yield being down a little, it really results in a production change which is very, very small.
Of 21 million bushel to 10.7 billion bushel for the 2012-2013 crop year, but combined with a projected 214 million bushel drop in beginning corn supplies, Bange says the season average corn price is now a record.
The current price forecast for corn is $7.80. It's down about 10 cents from a previous forecast, but I was hastening to add it's $7.80. That would far and away be a record for 2012, the 12-13 year, if it comes in as we expect.
The previous record was $6.22 this past crop year. The wheat price, helped by corn, is forecast at $8.10 and would also be a record for wheat. The soybean price forecast came down 75 cents to $15.25 on higher area production and yield, helped by later plant development and some rains.
They're up to 37.8 bushels per acre now. That's an increase of about 2.5 bushels per acre. So we're looking now at a production which is 226 million bushels higher than our previous estimate. We're at 2.86 billion bushels now.
Soybean exports were raised 210 million bushel on increased supplies and lower prices. Corn exports were forecast off 114 million bushel on slow sales to date and strong competition from Brazil. Meantime, Mr. Bange says a higher EPA biodiesel mandate for 2013 has boosted soybean oil use.
We've increased our estimate of domestic use for soybean oil up to 18.1 billion pounds compared to it's 500 million pounds above the previous forecast, which was at 17.6.
And that's reflecting EPA's increase in the mandate from 1 billion gallon to nearly 1.3 billion gallon. Here's an update from last week's area's livestock markets. Here's Kent McFarland from the Department of Agriculture. First, a report from the Greenville Livestock Auction.
This is the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Market News Service with the opening report for the Greenville Livestock Auction for October 10th. Estimated receipts today, 273 head. Slaughter steers and heifers are trading 1 to 150 higher. Holstein steers lightly tested. Choice slaughter steers, 118 to 120. Select and choice steers, 113 to 117.50. Choice Holstein slaughter steers, 110 to 110.50. Choice slaughter heifers at 117.50 to 120. Select and choice heifers, 113 to 117.50. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture. This is the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Market News Service with a report from the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville for Tuesday, October 9th. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $1.50 higher, slaughter Holsteins $1 lower in a light test. Slaughter cows sold steady, slaughter bulls lightly tested. Receipts 403 head. Choice slaughter steers 119 to 124.25, select and choice 114 to 118. Choice Holstein slaughter steers 110 to 114.75. Choice slaughter heifers 119 to 123. Select and choice heifers 115 to 118. Premium slaughter cows at 90.50 to 95.50, breakers at 85.50, boners 78 to 83.50, and lean slaughter cows 66 to $71. There was a package of feeder steers, medium and large ones and twos, 378 pounds at $167.50. This is Kent McFarland reporting for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Right now, we'll update the regional hog markets. We join University of Missouri livestock economist Dr. Ron Plain.
It was a good week for the hog markets. Hog prices $2 to $3 higher than the week before. Carcass prices for hogs delivered at the plant right around $80 per hundredweight on a live weight basis. Terminal market prices in the upper 50s. Higher hog prices made possible by higher cutout value. Late in the week, pork cutout value up $2.74 per hundredweight than the week before at around $87.69 per hundredweight. It was a broad rise with loins, butts, hams, and bellies all solidly higher this week. Futures market also put on $2 or so, depending on the contract, compared to the week earlier, so a broad-based increase in prices. One of the reasons, looks like we're more current on marketings than we have been in a while. Iowa, Minnesota live weights last week averaged 271.3 pounds. That was up from the week before, but down 1.4 pounds compared to the same week last year. Three of the last 4 weeks, weights have been below year-ago levels. Preliminary data looks like hog slaughter for the week is going to come in 1 to 2% higher than a year ago. And USDA released their updated monthly forecast, raised very slightly their forecast for pork production in 2012 and 2013. But all in all, the hog markets have a very good week.
And that was Dr. Ron Plain of the University of Missouri. The nation's largest farm organization faced off against the Environmental Protection Agency in a court case involving regulations for the Chesapeake Bay, but American Farm Bureau Federation General Counsel Ellen Steen says they would affect the entire country. The American Farm Bureau Federation's Jana Miller has more.
Lawyers for the American Farm Bureau argued before a U.S. District Court that the Environmental Protection Agency has violated the Clean Water Act and exceeded its authority with its total maximum daily load regulations on the Chesapeake Bay watershed. Those regulations are basically a pollution diet for that watershed.
What EPA did here was not to set a total load, but to define how that load ought to be allocated, split up, shared among agriculture, forestry, even individual plants and factories and facilities. And EPA would claim it could literally go throughout an area and assign nutrient limits, sediment limits on an individual home-by-home or farm-by-farm basis.
American Farm Bureau General Counsel Ellen Steen says Congress never gave the EPA that authority.
The heart of it is about EPA's power to control state and local land use and development decisions. EPA has set a pollution diet for the Chesapeake Bay that micromanages what are really local decisions about agriculture versus forestry versus development versus municipalities. These are local decisions. They affect local jobs. They affect local economies. Congress wrote the Clean Water Act to leave that power in state and local hands so that the people most affected would have the power to make those decisions.
Steen says the EPA based its conclusions on bad science, and that may lead to bad consequences.
One of the consequences of the way that EPA sliced up the pie in the Chesapeake Bay, for example, was to impose such drastic limits on agriculture that it would force 20% of agricultural land out of production. The consequences can be severe. They don't pertain just to the Chesapeake Bay. These are the issues that, depending on the way the law develops on this issue, affect how much power EPA has to control state and local decisions on land use and economic development nationwide.
Jana Miller, Washington.
Thursday was the final day for submitting comments on the Renewable Fuel Standard waiver request. The Environmental Protection Agency received comments from agricultural groups on both sides of the debate. Growth Energy CEO Tom Buie said there is no justification for waiving the RFS and no merit to the arguments of ethanol's critics. In fact, he said the waiver requests are riddled with inaccuracies and misinformation. Buie believes the governors and big food companies pushing the waiver have failed to show severe economic harm directly attributable to the RFS. Renewable Fuels Association President Bob Dineen agreed, stating that the EPA has no option but to deny the waiver requests because they are procedurally incomplete, legally insufficient, and factually flawed. Both Buie and Dineen pointed to the RFS program's inherent flexibilities and said that the RFS is working as intended. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack announced funding to modernize and improve the efficiency of rural electric generation and transmission systems. Undersecretary Dallas Tonsager says these investments will modernize service and improve reliability for rural businesses and residential customers. He says the announcement includes funding that will enable rural electric cooperatives and utilities to adopt smart grid technologies in their operations. The $1.95 billion in loan guarantees announced last Thursday are provided by the USDA Rural Development's Rural Utilities Service. It's 6:38 on this Monday morning. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, December wheat trading at 850 and a half, down 6 1/4. March wheat trading at 862 and a quarter, down 7. December corn trading at 739 and a half, down 13 1/4. March corn trading at 739 1/4, down 13 1/2. November soybeans trading at 1492 3/4, down 20. Now trading at 1493, down 29 1/2. January beans now trading at 1492, down 30. We'll update you with the commodity markets throughout the day on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield.